It's time for Lincoln County Connections on KNPT, KWDP, and KBCH. Here's your host, Casey Miller.
Good morning and welcome to Lincoln County Connections. I am Casey Miller, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer. On the program today, Josh Lambert, and he is a watershed specialist with Lincoln Soil and Water Conservation District. He also seems to have met somebody out. Were you just walking the streets there, Mark Salies? What are you doing here?
Well, Casey, I'm wearing a little different hat than usual on your show. I actually, as one of the elected Lincoln Soil and Water Conservation Board of Directors, I'm just happy to be able to be here with Josh, and I'm going to be excited about all the great things he's going to tell you about what the Soil and Water Conservation District does. They're a fantastic organization.
So, Josh, this guy's pretty legitimate in your mind?
Oh, yeah.
We'll join these two in just a moment. I did want to redirect your thinking for just a moment before we talk about Water Conservation District here in Lincoln County. And we've got a meeting coming up in regard to the fair and the fairgrounds. And to kind of sort this out for you, we are looking for public input that seeks to evaluate whether we should continue to have an annual fair and the facilities and fairgrounds for that purpose, but also should these grounds, if you'll call them not necessarily fairgrounds and facilities, also be used for the public or organizations if you have used them or have interest in using them. We're also looking for your feedback. So there's a kickoff meeting on December 3rd, that's next Monday, room 108, 6 p.m. Please come and provide us some feedback if you feel like you're a stakeholder in the fairgrounds or the facilities. And that is on Lincoln County's homepage for more information. So I just wanted to get that out there, guys. Thanks for kind of wading through that. Soil and Water Conservation District, Josh, you've been into the Board of Commissioners, presented them with all the different kinds of things you do in your offices. And it's really, you got quite a team over there. And just besides you, tell me who's running around over there.
Well, it's a really wonderful office environment because in addition to our staff at the Conservation District, partners with the Natural Resource Conservation District are there. We work closely with them when we work with our agricultural landowners. And then the Midcoast Watershed Council, which is a community-based organization that does a lot of work and in-stream habitat to do a lot of the salmon restoration that was first started back in Governor Kitzhaber's days with the Oregon Salmon Plan. So they do a lot of that kind of work, and it all blends together with the work we do as well. So it's a wonderful. You'll see the sign on the building says Partners in Conservation, and that's really true.
Can you maybe put a bigger definition to conservation? You know, why is it something that we've realized we need to do? And you know, I mean, does this go back historically to Native Americans as well? I mean, when do we make a deliberate effort to conserve, kind of?
Well, that's interesting you mentioned historic. As a lot of people know, there's a special going on TV right now about the Dust Bowl with Ken Burns.
Mm-hmm.
Soil and water districts were actually started back in that time to address the practices that we were doing on the land to just survive back then, but to also produce food and you know, live in the West. That idea, which has started during those times and even way before then in the mind of America, has cultivated over many years and I think reflects our humans' desire to respect where we live.
Mm-hmm.
And live off the land, but not necessarily consume the land to the point where it can't sustain us and what we love about the land.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, being a new dad and having a two-year-old, I have to wonder whether or not my son, if he wasn't taught certain things, just what exactly he would do. I think he was probably destroying some small toy this morning,
Yeah.
But it sounds like maybe sometimes in history this information is maybe lost and found, rediscovered. But generally you bring some good principles to folks here in the county.
It's true. It's true. Really, soil and water conservation districts are an interesting entity. You know, we're we're run by a locally elected board of directors, which are local landowners. And one of the primary reasons for that was so that relationships could be developed that fuse government programs that assist landowners with you know, working with their natural resources in a more productive way that doesn't consume them. And those relationships are the foundation of what we do. Without that interaction with the landowner, we don't get anything done. And I think back in the day, that was one of the issues, you know. Hi, I'm here from the government. I'm here to help. That didn't really fly too well in the West. And so this concept of having a board of directors who know what's going on and provide that link to the landowner, it's really important. And it through that partnership, we can begin to start discussing, you know, like you said, ways that landowners can start working with the resources, you know, in a way that benefits them and everybody else as well.
That sounds like you've got some emphasis coming up on more of an urban aspect to it, as well as opposed to just being, you know, larger property owners with agricultural areas. I mean, the emphasis is starting to, and it seems like there is some critical mass. People are starting to think, hey, you know, make my whole property, you know, an edible landscape or whatever it might be. But it's definitely the trend is seems like it's moving to even, you know, the tiniest plot of land that you might have, and even if it's gardening, you know, on your deck in an apartment, that can be an element of stewardship. Guys, let's take a quick break. Come back and talk about it. You're listening to Lincoln County Connections, and we'll be right back with Josh Lambert. Mark Salins is also here. We're talking about the Lincoln Soil and Water Conservation District. Stay with us.
Is your office supply store like Hall's Office Supply in Lincoln City? Does your office supply store carry art supplies like Hall's? Does your office supply store help you with your copy needs like Hall's? Does your office supply store look up forms and inkjets you need like Hall's Office Supply? One final question, does your office supply store deliver to your home or business anywhere from Pacific City to Glen Eden Beach? Hall's Office Supply of Lincoln City really does it all. That's Hall's.
One time a year, now during the holiday season, Mariner Square Attractions puts their season passes on sale for the believe it or not price of just $9. Season passes get you into all three Mariner Square attractions, the Waxworks, Undersea Gardens, and Ripley's Believe It or Not, as many times as you like during 2013. And right now, season passes are on sale in the Mariner Square gift shop for just $9. The Undersea Gardens takes you beneath the sea, up close and personal, with a stunning array of marine life in their natural habitat. Enter the realm of the strange and wondrous. Ripley's Believe It or Not, and prepare to be amazed as you enter the Wax Museum. Your season passes will get you into all three Mariner Square attractions anytime you want during 2013 for only $9 per person. That's a tremendous savings over the regular price of admission. Mariner Square on Newport's historic bayfront. Season passes good January through December 31st, 2013.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Oregon National Guard, aired by the Oregon Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Welcome back to Lincoln County Connections on KBCH, KWDP, and KNPT.
And welcome back to Lincoln County Connections. We're talking to Josh Lambert of the Soil and Water Conservation District. And if you're not aware of this organization in our county, you know, their mission says that they improve and conserve natural resources on agricultural, forested, private, urban, and rural lands in Lincoln County. And just to make a tie-in here, you do work with the Public Works Department with Lincoln County.
Mm-hmm.
What kinds of things do they look to you for feedback?
Well, I'd say the strongest partnership we have with the Public Works Department has been with our invasive species program. Mm-hmm. This is a program that tends to it focuses on urban and rural areas because really invasive species know no boundaries. And Public Works has a really good vegetation management program that works kind of in the road network, and the road network being a corridor for invasive species. It's really helpful when you have that kind of resource, where we tend to work off the road to make sure we're working together.
When we think about the threat of invasive species in terms of roads, are the issues that the roads contribute to the spreading of them, or do they actually cause damage to the roads? Is it a little of both?
It depends on the species. Actually, yeah, there are weeds out there that can damage roads. Knotweeds, which are one of the primary ones, we have a countywide program to assist landowners to control them. Those are known throughout the world for doing damage to house foundations. Mm-hmm. Their underground root structures can do that. But primarily, roads are also they're a vector for weed seeds.
Gotcha.
And for spreading, definitely.
And the transportation, and that's part of the invasive species paradigm. Was it, civilization that's really, enabled species to cross boundaries they normally wouldn't, or...
Yeah, thousands of plants are used by humans, they're cultivated, and really only a small amount of those ever become a major problem. But it is through the manipulation of cultivation and also moving species to different areas that would not have naturally become displaced to where they ended up being a problem, which is really the root cause often.
When we think about these types of invasive species, are some of the smaller landowners, larger landowners, where do you see most of the people come in from the public, and who are you addressing as far as their needs when it comes to invasive species?
Wow, everybody. But I would say a considerable large percentage of invasive species start off as ornamental varieties. So actually we've interfaced a lot more with urban folks to essentially stem the tide, because that's where a lot of these things get started. But our program, works everywhere, because frankly, once they start in urban areas, they can end up out in the rural area. And yeah, it's been a wonderful program since that. We've gotten a lot more name recognition, and we've served a lot more people because we work in urban areas with invasive species. And yeah,
and your outreach, probably identification too. I imagine I just would have no idea what to look for, and it could be in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, maybe encroaching on a foundation, and so what are your outreach or your educational opportunities for folks to learn? I noticed the website had some great pictures
mm-hmm.
in regard to poisonous plants. Did I just miss some shots of some of the invasives?
There is an invasive species page there, and it has profiles and links as well to state websites that have profiles of weeds. We've tried to do in the last couple years put on a couple annual trainings, often with the master, related to the Master Gardeners
mm-hmm.
program. We're always available for walk-ins or calls. We're happy to identify plants or put you in contact with a local person in your town, like if you're in Lincoln City or Yahats and we can't get to you. But we definitely want to help people identify what they have on their property, find out if it's a threat, and understand what the highest priorities in the county are, and we're very well versed on what those are.
Okay, if you're listening to us, we're talking to Josh Lambert, Lincoln Soil and Water Conservation District. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about that native plant sale that's coming up, a great opportunity to get some native plants. So stay with us, and we'll be right back on Lincoln County Connections.
Looking for the perfect gift for the do-it-yourselfer on your list? Fix him or her up with great tools from Mills East Hardware in Lincoln City. Right now, you can save an incredible $50 on a DeWalt 18-volt cordless impact driver, available for just $99.99 all month long at Mills East Hardware in Lincoln City. Two locations to serve your every hardware need. Ace really is the place when you're getting ready for the holidays. Mills East Hardware, Lincoln City.
Kathy Clary, Toujours Boutique.
It's pretty darn obvious by now that summer isn't coming back till next year, so put away those summer clothes and come see us for fall and winter fashions at Toujours. Here at Toujours, it's warm inside and all aglow with deep, rich colors of fall. You will love the soft fabrics of our warm, snuggly sweaters. And our jackets and pants will keep you looking your best, regardless of what Mama Nature throws at you. Come see us today at Toujours.
Toujours Boutique, 704 Northwest Beach Drive, in the heart of Newport's Nye Beach.
Coastal Farm and and Ranch store in Albany has challenged our listeners to raise money for Lincoln County Food Share. Coastal Farm will match all donations up to $1,000 made to Lincoln County Food Share by this Friday at 5 p.m. Call us and make a pledge to Food Share at 541-265-2266 or drop off a donation at our studios, 906 Southwest Alder in Newport, a block off Highway 101. Pig and Pancake sits right between us and Highway 101. Help Lincoln County Food Share as Coastal Farm will match dollar for dollar until this Friday, 5 p.m. Call now, 265-2266.
Mom, what if something happens to Dad?
Why would something happen to Dad?
Tom's dad died, and he wasn't even sick. Now they have to move.
Life's unpredictable, and when you put off things like life insurance, you can get caught off guard. Fidelity Life makes protecting your family affordable, even in today's economy. Less than $15 a month buys a healthy 40-year-old a $250,000 term life insurance policy. We just assess your needs, give you our best quote, and our competitors, and then you choose. We work directly with the nation's top carriers to find the policy that's right for you. And because we give you the best quotes, you can save up to 70%. Call 1-800-514-6800 for your free quote and 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-514-6800. That's 1-800-514-6800. Or visit FidelityLife.com. Fidelity Life Association is licensed in all states and the District of Columbia, except for Wyoming and New York. Not all products available in all states. Applications and rates are subject to underwriting approval.
Lincoln County Connections is back on KNPT, KDCH, and KWDP.
Thanks for joining us this morning. I'm Casey Miller, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer. Every Thursday at 9, we talk about news events. We talk to people related to Lincoln County government and great organizations like Lincoln Soil and Water Conservation District. Josh Lambert is with us today. He's a watershed specialist. We've been talking about a lot of the things you do, Josh, and I know there's so much more than we can cover this morning on the program, but water quality is another aspect to the work you do. Describe that.
Well, water quality is important to everybody, and not just, you know, residents and landowners, but wildlife in general. One thing we're primarily interested in is helping landowners, often rural landowners that own a lot of waterfront property, river frontage, to manage their resources in a way that benefits their operation but protects water quality, because frankly, you know, water quality ends up providing drinking water for a lot of us, and I think most people are probably concerned that we're getting good water. I mean, obviously we get good water from our tap, but we're focused on the raw sources of the water in our rivers and streams. And so a lot of our work is focused on what's called riparian management, which is that thin zone between the forest and the actual water courses itself. And it's a very dynamic area, and management's really important to make sure that we've got safe drinking water. And functions of our watershed, like providing habitat for salmon and whatnot, are conserved.
You know, our location in terms of altitudes, does that have a difference? I mean, are folks who are up higher and more, you know, rocky or mountainous areas, they still deal with the same kind of water quality issues that we deal with here closer to sea level, or does that make any difference?
Well, that's a good question. I think elevation is one factor. Also, the higher up in the watershed you are, the smaller the water courses are. But what you do up there affects what happens downstream. When you're lower down in the system, you're already experiencing what has happened upstream. Being on the coast here, being so close to the ocean, now you're dealing, when you're lower in the system, with the estuary system, and it's almost a different dynamic. That's a great question. I would say the way we approach water quality and our water quality monitoring program that samples water throughout a bunch of the basins in the county is looking for specific parameters that are really part of Clean Water Act national governance to make sure water quality is maintained. But we try to tie that into the actual practices and the actual function of the watershed more than just like, oh, you know, there's bacteria in the water. Oh, there's sediment in the water. Mm-hmm. We're really trying to make sure that there's a holistic approach to water quality.
Right. Making sure we're doing the right things in terms of, you know, maybe what's on our land and might be going into the watershed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've got a plant sale coming up. And I know we're going to run low on time here, but I'm very excited about this and glad to hear there's a solution for those of us who won't be able to make the sale. How many years have you been doing this now?
Well, this is our third annual sale. Mm-hmm. It has adapted quite nicely, in my opinion, over the last couple years. This year we'll be offering a sign-up sheet, which we're really excited about, for people to do a pre-order next summer. Mm-hmm. We often get calls in as early as August, people wanting certain plants, or are you going to have that plant sale again? And so this year we're going to try something, we're going to set up the stage for something new next year where people can pre-order in the summertime.
Well, I'm wondering if you're going to start cooking up a frenzy like that's happening with the Master Gardeners sale, because I went to that for the first time this year and went,
it's a great sale.
Are you kidding me? You got to get here early. Boy, it was like intense rush for all kinds of great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And why is native the emphasis? I'm just going to throw that out there as a naive question.
Sure. No, it's not naive. You know, there's a lot of great plant material out there for different reasons. And one thing we approach with native plants is if a landowner is looking for a plant that's not necessarily high maintenance, mm-hmm. they're looking for something that maybe blends in a little bit more. Native plants are a wonderful choice. They're adapted to the type of water we have, you know, really wet winters, relatively dry summers, and a lot of the pest species that are out there, these are adapted to those as well. So it's kind of a low-maintenance way of improving the aesthetics of your property, or in some cases, if you're really trying to improve the function, where you really want to increase shade or stabilize a bank. These can be wonderful solutions to problems you may have.
So when we think about plants to shrubs, are you going to incorporate, you know, even trees too? Or
well, in the past we've provided trees. They actually didn't sell quite as well. So this year we're focusing a lot more on flowering herbs and shrubs. We do have a couple trees, but I'm going to be providing information, a handout that allows people to look at different kind of planting regions mm-hmm. that they may be interested in, like the coastal strip, interior forest, urban garden, rain
cool.
garden, wetland, so people will have a better idea of, based on feedback I've gotten, what, you know, plants that they might want to use.
That's great. So you'll be able to kind of navigate to maybe what might suit where you are, where
right,
you're
located. Right, exactly.
Cool. I love it. Well, Josh, thanks for coming on the program. The sale is coming up, and it's located
at the northwest corner of Highway 20 and Highway 101, right next to Quilter's Cove or Newport Candy in the JC Market parking lot. Look for our white tent. Mm-hmm. It'll say Native Plant Sale, and it'll be December 7th and 8th, a Friday and a Saturday from 10 to 4 p.m.
And any idea, give us price ranges? I mean,
We'll have essentially 1 gallon stock all the way down to band pots and plugs, nothing more than $6 really.
Mm-hmm. So very affordable
mm-hmm.
and a chance for everybody to get something. Any recommendations? It's 2 days, so.
It is 2 days, and we're going to have less than 1,000 plants. So really, if you can't get there by the end of Saturday, I say give us a call.
Okay.
541-265-2631, and I can either hold some stuff for you or we can work something out.
All right. Thanks, you two. Great program. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week.
News Talk 1310 AM and 98.3 FM, KNPT, and streaming live at knptam.com.